Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sermon text for today, as you've already heard, is that familiar account of David's victory over Goliath. I want to read for you just one verse again, verse 47. All those gathered here will know that it is not by spear or sword that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. And all of you will be given into our hands. Here ends our text. Please bow your heads and pray with me. O living Lord, we, your people, have been under attack, spiritual attack this past week. We have been bullied and abused with attacks in our hearts, our minds, and our thoughts. And now, Lord, we turn to you and we rely on your word. For we know your word is powerful and majestic. Your word shakes the desert. It strips the forest and flashes lightning across the sky. And we know, Lord, your word strengthens your people to overcome their fears. We know your word blesses your people with peace and the forgiveness of their sins through Christ. So, Lord, speak to us today. Assure us. Reassure us of the forgiveness of our sins through the body and blood of your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. My fellow saints in the kingdom of God, are you at peace? Do you feel safe and secure? Well, if you had asked me that at the beginning of the week, I would have said, of course. I live in Oakfield. It's peace, safety, and security every day. But then I listened to the news. And did you hear of the towering inferno in London? Some 60 people gone missing, presumed dead. Then a little closer to home, you heard probably on the news of some of our representatives are practicing for a ball game in a park in Alexandria, Virginia, and a gunman is firing shots at them. And then a little closer to home this past week, a lightning storm comes through Oakfield, the likes of which I have never seen before. After the storm, we went outside and looked around, and I counted at least 10 trees struck by lightning, split in two. You could see the burn mark still on the stumps. One of them was still ablaze as we watched it. Another one of those split trees from that lightning had grazed the parsonage where we were in the basement huddled together. At peace? That during that storm, my son and I in the basement away from the windows, at one point he turns and he looks to me with fear on his face and he says, Dad, can't find my blanket. If we don't have peace, if we don't feel safety and security, we are searching for it, we're looking for it. So I ask you again, are you at peace? Do you feel safe and secure? If so, why? How come you feel at peace when so many people around us, so many people in the world, are frozen in fear and terrified? What makes you different? Today, we are gathered together to thank God for providing for our peace, our safety, and security in blessing this congregation with a strong Christian pastor, a strong Christian leader, and a strong Christian friend, Pastor John Billets. And so we turn to the Lord's Word today to remind us that He does provide for our peace, our safety, and security, as He always has, to remind us of His words. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. To overcome all of our fears, that we might overwhelm all of our enemies, He has given us a pastor. So Pastor Billets, the battle is the Lord's. Proclaim His peace to overcome your fears and overwhelm all of your enemies, to equip and to train this congregation for war. And saints of God's kingdom, prepare for war. Equip, wield, be trained with the sword of the Spirit that you might bring it to bear in your families, in your workplaces, for their eternal well-being. The battle is the Lord's. Pastor, proclaim his peace. The Israelite army was preparing for war for 40 days. 40 days on top of one hillside. They came out of their tents every morning. They woke up, they got pumped up, and they lined up for battle with those shouts of war, with the trumpet blasts. Spearmen to the front, slingers to the back, and then they looked down the hillside, into the valley, up the next slope to the Philistine camp. And every morning they saw it. A gigantic champion of the enemy comes out of those tents and slowly makes his way down into the valley. He stands 9 feet tall, two normal men on each other's shoulders, gigantic weapons, bronze armor that would cripple a normal man under its weight. And then the Israelite army watched and they heard the terrifying taunts of this giant Goliath. Why are we lined up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not the servants of Saul? Choose one of your men to come down and fight me. One on one. Let's end this. Today I defy all the army of Israel. Give me a man. For 40 days. For 40 days the Israelite army looked and they heard. And then they compared. They looked at their measurables. They looked at the giant's measurements. And they knew if the battle was theirs, if they were to be the chosen champion, no contest. They'd be obliterated. And so to a man, the Israelite army runs back to their comfort of their tents for safety, peace, and security. So who is going to be the chosen champion of God's people to bring them safety and security? Should it not be their leader? Should it not be King Saul? King Saul, he hears, he sees the giant's terrorizing taunts, and he looks at his strengths, he looks at his resources, and what he has, riches, royal status. And so he uses them, he looks to them to bring safety and security, to manipulate, to motivate the army that they would go to battle and defeat Goliath. But it seems that doesn't work out. As much money as a man could count and marriage of the king's daughter isn't enough. So it seems after a few days he must have sweetened the pot, sweetened the deal, and he decided to change the laws of the land. And I'll throw in no more taxes. Well, that should motivate him. But you know the story. It does not. The Israelite army looking at their weaknesses, the Israelite leader looking at his strengths and his resources, and they still end up in the same spot with their enemies, frozen in fear, unable to win the victory. But our Lord knows what his people need, and our Lord has the power to provide a strong spiritual leader for them, someone who is different, David. David thought he was delivering cheese on that day, but the Lord had another plan for him. A plan to be a strong Christian leader for God's people. Listen if you can check what makes David different as I read David's words once again as he faces Goliath. I come against you in the name of the Lord, the God of the armies of Israel. This day the Lord will hand you over to me. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. The battle is the Lord's. Did you catch the difference? The different viewpoint that David had. He was there. He saw a giant. He was there. He heard the terrifying taunt. He can see himself, his own measurements. And he looked past them all. He looked at the Lord. The Lord was his focus. He looked at the immeasurable power, faithfulness, grace, and the promises of the Lord, the great I am, the great promise keeper. And he figured, anyone could take the giant. Any one of God's people, even me. So what did David do? He looked to the Lord. It sounds so simple. It sounds so easy. Anyone can look to the Lord, right? You know, it's not that easy. It's been impossible for anyone to look to the Lord ever since Adam and Eve fell for that old evil foe's lie. The lie? You know it. You know it well. You are all alone. You're on your own. God does not care about you. It's up to you. Even pastors fall for that lie today. My first year as a pastor was in Louisiana. There, as a pastor in Louisiana, I received my first emergency call to go to the hospital. I was a little nervous, but the phone call I got said, "Pastor, we need you to come to the hospital right away. Charlie has been taken to the hospital. He's been having trouble breathing." Well, Charlie was the chairman of the congregation at that time, so I wasn't too worried about going to visit Charlie at the hospital. I got arrived at the hospital, and in the parking lot there, I quickly paged through the Bible, thought I found a psalm that would be good for a little devotion, and then I entered the hospital and made my way to his room that they directed me. They opened the door, and then I looked and saw him in the hospital bed, and it took my breath away. I didn't recognize him. He was all different shades of purple. It threw me for a loop. I did not know what to say, what to do. I stumbled my way to the bedside, stumbled my way through some sort of reading of the psalm. I think I prayed, and that was it. The next time I see Charlie, he's in another hospital room. I come to the hospital room there, and I'm a little nervous. I open the door, and I see him. He's back to normal flesh color. He's recovered. I come right up to his bed and I say, "Charlie, I am so sorry. You really threw me for a loop the other day." And he said to me, "Pastor, don't worry about it. But next time, just read Psalm 23. The Good Shepherd will take care of me. Just read Psalm 23. The Good Shepherd will take care of me." That's a lesson good old Charlie taught me that I have not soon forgot. The battle is the Lord's. As a pastor, we look at our problems that we face, the giants in our past life of sin, the giants in our future that may surprise us, and the giants that we are faced with today, broken homes, broken marriages, broken relationships, addiction, anger, rage, jealousy, greed, battle between missions, music, money, buildings, budgets. And a pastor looks at his own weaknesses and he thinks, "I can't do this. I can't help these people. I can't conquer these giants." And we run for comfort, for peace, and safety. And the other days, when I wake up and I say, "I am going to be determined. I am going to be committed. And I'm going to be the champion for these people. And I am going to use my gifts, my abilities, my strength, my words, my plan, my decisions, my style. And I am going to overcome all those enemies." The congregation soon starts to feel the angry boss attitude coming through. As the stress and the anxiety and the pressure of holding this church on my shoulders and conquering their enemies wears me down. Pastor Billets, the battle is the Lord's, the great promise keeper, who overcame the promise, who overcame the lie with his promise in that Garden of Eden. He reassured Adam and Eve. He does love them. He is with them. He will not leave them. And then he proved it. He proved his promises were true. When God's Son became a baby boy, and his name is Jesus Christ, the living proof of our peace, that God became human flesh to suffer the penalty for our peace, to bring us peace with God. Jesus Christ was assigned a grave with the wicked. He died the death of every sinner that we might have peace. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on that third day, living proof that God accepted his full payment, that he now had brought peace to this earth. proclaim that peace, to overcome your fears, to overwhelm all of your enemies, and to equip and to train God's people to bring that peace to bear in their lives. Saints in God's kingdom, prepare for war. Are you ready? Are you ready to be trained? Are you ready to be equipped? Are you ready to go to battle against the spiritual forces stacked against you? Are you ready to proclaim that peace? There was another man there that day when David slew Goliath. A man that many people might have thought would be the champion of God's people. His name was Eliab. Eliab was David's oldest brother. When the prophet Samuel took one look at Eliab, he thought, that's the guy. That is going to be the next king. He's got the great appearance. He's got the great height. But you remember the story? God told the prophet Samuel, he's not the one. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And Eliab was passed over for his baby brother, David. So Eliab was there that day, and he heard Goliath's taunts, and he saw Goliath's size, and then he was also there to hear David in his courage, and his confidence, and his bravery. And Eliab wondered, why? Why does David think that he's different from everyone else? How come David thinks that he's going to overcome his fears and overwhelm his enemies when everyone else is deathly afraid? Eliab at first thinks David's just a fool. He doesn't know any better. But then Eliab realizes he's not just a fool. He comes to the conclusion he's arrogant. He's conceited. Eliab thinks David believes he's better than everyone else, so God will bless him. Is that what made David different? You see, the world is still filled with Eliabs. Because no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for his people. It's impossible. They can't come to that conclusion. They must be told. I want you to imagine for a second a whole army of people that have the David difference. A whole army of people who look past the giants in their past, look past the giants that may surprise them in the future, and they look to God, the Lord, and they have peace and safety and security, courage and bravery to face whatever comes in the future because they rely on the Word of God. What does that look like? What does that sound like? Stop imagining it. It's a reality. You and I have the David difference. We have the peace of the forgiveness of our sins. We have the assurance that God loves us, he's with us, and is overcoming all of our enemies with us. If God is for us, who can be against us? I have no doubt in my mind that Pastor Billets is going to be teaching the devil to death here at Wisconsin Lutheran Chapel. Is that true? He assures me it is true. He is going to be proclaiming Christ crucified for the peace between sinners and God from this pulpit, this altar, and this baptismal font, and in every counseling situation and teaching opportunity you give to him. And the devil and his evil forces will suffer from it. But now I ask you, are you prepared? Are you ready to be trained and to be equipped? Because there are people in your life who need to know. Who need to know the Lord and his peace. Let me give you just one quick example. I was a pastor down south, and one of our members called me to come to the hospital because one of their friends had attempted suicide. There at the hospital, I was happy that they let me in to see her in the psych ward of the hospital. And there, I sat down with her. She was seated on a chair, her head in her hands. What am I going to say? I sit down in the chair next to her, and I tell her, I don't know what sins are in your past. I don't know what you're going through. But I do know that God loves you, that he has paid for all of your sins by giving his son Jesus on that cross. Your sins are forgiven. God loves you, and he will be with you in the future. She looked up from her hands, and she said, "Thank you," to me. And then she said words that I will not soon forget. "Why did no one tell me this before? Why did no one tell me this before? The battle is the Lord's. Overcome all your fears. Overwhelm all your enemies with the peace of the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ." Pastor, proclaim that peace to overcome your own fears and overwhelm your own enemies, to equip and train this congregation and the saints of God's kingdom. Make your pastor happy. A lot of things make pastors happy. For instance, I received a great gift on my patio of a bushel of green beans once. Made me happy. Another time, I received a cooker of a crawfish boil on my front patio. Another time, I came home to find a freezer full of meat in my house. All those things make me happy. But nothing makes a pastor happier than to see and to hear his congregation being equipped and being trained to wield the sword of the Spirit for the well-being of souls for all eternity in their lives, in their families, and in their workplaces. So make my friend and my fellow pastor happy. Prepare for war, for the battle is the Lord's. Amen.